Tonight, hey, I'm really excited to be able to talk tonight about this passage. And just like they said, those lusts, they just drain the life right out of us. Tonight, we're going to talk about what really gives us life. And really, tonight, I just really want you, or I hope that I can convey to you and help you understand, to really lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want him glorified tonight. Man, he is so great in what he has done for us. And I just want to share some of those things out of Galatians chapter 5. Just some verses. I just want to read some verses that were shared this morning in the breaking of bread. So if you go to Romans 3:21, I'm just going to read about five verses. And we're just going to flip through and read them. Romans 3:21. I forget who shared all these verses, but someone shared this one this morning. 3:21 says, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Then turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11. And if you can't turn there that quick, that's all right. You can just listen. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God." Colossians 1:21 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile from mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." And two more over in Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, chapter 25, says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." And then Isaiah 44:22 says, "I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud, and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Tonight we're going to talk about the law and grace. And I just want to say this one thing right here. First of all, you know what? If we follow the law and we become legalistic, you know what we do? We're really stealing from God. You know what? We're really stealing his glory. Because in all these five verses, here's what it said. It said the Lord Jesus Christ forgave our sins. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, he redeemed us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, he's forgiven us. He's the one that's done it all. And it's none of us. And tonight, just what I want us to know is it's not anything that we have done or that we can do that make us right with God, and that it's all him. All the praise and all the honor and all the glory go to him. And we're freed from the law. We are freed from the law because it's his glory. And we can't steal that glory from him because he's the one that's done it. So let's pray, and then we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 2. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for just how much you love us and what you've done for us. As we look into your word, God, I just pray that you'd encourage us and challenge us and strengthen us because of the grace that you've shown toward us. Lord, deliver us from bondage to the law and thinking that there's things we have to do to be right with you. Because, God, you've made us right with you. And I just pray that you would help us to see that this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The last few weeks, we've been talking about Galatians. And I enjoyed what Carl said last week. He asked, "Who's your mama?" And then he said, "Is your mama Sarah or is your mama Hagar?" And then it was before that, I think it was Joe was talking to us, and he's saying, "Are you a slave or are you a son?" And then in Galatians, we also talked about, are we under law or are we under promise? And then the one that really struck me, because I teach elementary school, is it says, living by the law, those are the elemental things. Those are elemental, and Paul said, you need to go on beyond that. And I always think of that when my kids come back and see me after I've had them for a while. And they come back and see me, and I look at them and I say, they look so much better, and I know I'm looking so much worse. And I can't recognize them, but they can always recognize me. Because they're always changing. And that's the thing, you know what? We can't get hung up in the law and just the elemental things. Because God's calling us to be changed by his grace. So Galatians 5, I just want to read the first verse. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to yoke of slavery." You have been set free. So what I'd like all you to do is just think. Just, I want you to think back like if you were a slave. Okay? You're a slave back, working on a cotton plantation. Okay? If all you can just sort of picture that and put yourself back in that, situation. And you heard one day that you were now free. The Civil War had ended and you could go free. Okay? What would you do? What would you do? You know, back at the Civil War, slaves did a lot of different things. You know, some of them chose to stay with their master. I'll bet some of them didn't even know they were free. I bet some of them just kept living, and those plantation owners never let them know they were free. And so some of them remained slaves. There were some of them, I'm sure, when all of a sudden they said free, and they packed their few things that they owned, and then they thought to themselves, where am I going? You know, what am I going to do? So some of them, you know, got entangled with their slave masters again and rented land from them and ended up being slaves again. And some of them, I bet, just felt helpless and scared. You know, and I think that's probably, you know, what happens to a lot of people when they're given freedom. You know, a lot of times people don't even know what to do with us. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said it was, or the Bible says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Here's why Jesus set us free. He says he wants you to be free. And he doesn't want you again to go back to living. He was telling these Galatians, don't go back to living under the law. Don't go back under circumcision and keeping all the rules. You're free from that. And I died so that you could be free. I think of Veterans Day just passed, and we had a big Veterans Day program at our school. And I was talking to my kids, and I thought, you know, all those people that have died, wouldn't it be horrible if all those people had died for our freedom and all of a sudden us as a society said, you know what? I don't like being free. I think we need to go back in bondage. We need to go back under the rule of the one we've just been freed from. Or if those soldiers, you know, all of a sudden everybody in Iraq said, you know what? We don't want this freedom. We want to go back and live under Saddam Hussein. And how horrible that would be for those people that gave their lives. And you know, when we want to go back and live according to the law, and live under the law. These Galatians are saying, we want to go back and live under the law. You know what? That was a slam. That was a slam to the grace of God. That was really telling God, I think in a sense, I don't really appreciate what you did for me. Okay? And so we need to be freed. He set us free so we could be free. No longer under the law. And so he says this. He says, stand firm in that freedom. And I want to look at the next few verses. And I've been talking with the high school kids about how hard it is sometimes to live for Christ. And I think this is really the essence of why it's so difficult to live for Jesus Christ. Is because God says we're to live by grace. And what happens is, what we do as individuals, as churches, as Christians as a whole, we set up this, marker of, okay, if you do this, this is what the perfect Christian looks like. And you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. And if you do all those things, then you know what? Then you're okay as a Christian. Like the law. Like we're trying to gain favor with God. If I do all the right things, then God will be pleased with me. And we spend our life doing that. And what that is that's so discouraging to have to live like that. So discouraging. Because you know what you do? You feel defeated. You feel like you wake up one day and you live life and say, man, I really blew it. I didn't live like God wanted me to live. And then you wake up and you live again another day. Same things happen. And you get more and more discouraged. Say, how can God be pleased with me? How could God even accept me as a person? How could God think that what, And you know what the thing is? Is we get so discouraged and burdened. Because that's not how we're supposed to be thinking. Because the Lord Jesus Christ set us free from those things. That we can live in His grace. That we can live in His grace. Galatians 5:2. Here's what you get when you get grace. Look at Ephesians 5:2 says this. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be no benefit to you. So he's saying to those Galatians, if you think circumcision is going to be right, make you right with God, you know what? Then Christ is no benefit to you. Then you're not going to be made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Then the blood of Jesus isn't going to help you because you're trying to work for your salvation. You're trying to work for your righteousness. That's not how God's doing it. He's offered you righteousness free because of the blood of Christ. And we need to understand that Christ can't do anything for us if we think we can do anything for ourselves. You know, if we think we can do anything for ourselves, Christ can't do anything for us. And that's a humbling thing. But we got to come to him and say, you know what, God? I can't do it for myself. I can't make myself right with you. I need your righteousness and I need your way. And you know, this is what Jesus Christ asks. Jesus Christ gives me, he says, give me all or give me nothing. And that's really a challenge I'd like to make to you. You know what? Give Jesus Christ all or don't give him anything at all. Don't give him anything. Because what's the sense of giving half yourself to Jesus and getting no help from him? Because he says, if you're trying to work out your own salvation, then I'm of no benefit to you. Jesus wants all. Jesus wants everything. Jesus wants us to put our whole complete trust in him. And then he tells the Galatians in verse 3, and I testify again to every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Here's another reason he said you have to be free. Because he says this, you know what? If you want to keep the law, if you want to live legalistically, if you want to do all the right things, then you better do everything right. You better be absolutely perfect. Now, you know what? That is discouraging. And I hope that should be discouraging to you. Because you know what? Not one of us is perfect, nor can any one of us be perfect. So he says this, if you want to put yourself under the law and you want to be right with the law, then you know what? Don't just keep part of the law. Just don't do one or two things. But he says this, you better keep that whole law, because then you'll be righteous. Then you'll be right before me. And here's what God says. He says, no, I've made you right. The blood of Jesus Christ is a thing that makes you right, apart from all else. Because if you try to be circumcised and you try to keep the law, then you may as well keep the whole law. And we know that's going to fail. We know that's going to fail. And so we can't do it. So we need to give it up and trust Christ completely. Then Galatians verse 3 or verse 4. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. And then verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. And here's what happens when we try to work. When we try to work our way and do it all ourselves, then you know what? We're severed from grace. And I think what that means is that not that, you know, we can't be saved, but this. Then God can't work through his spirit in our lives. Because then we take on the whole responsibility for making our lives right. We take on that whole responsibility that says, I've got to do the right things. I've got to make the right choices. I've got to walk the right way. And you know, that's a burden. That's a burden to us. And we take ourselves outside the help of the Holy Spirit and his power that we can live through so that we can do the right thing. And so he says, you've fallen from grace. So we have to fight against saying, this is a standard that we have to keep to. This is a way we have to live so that we can be right with God. No, it's only because of the blood of Christ. God will provide the strength that we need to live for him if we don't seek to do it ourselves. And so Jesus said, or Jesus came and set us free. He gave us freedom that we might be free. And then he also talks in verse 1 about legalism being a yoke. And if you turn to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Oh man, you know what, you guys? This is going terrible. I have got to apologize because I didn't want you to come here and sit and listen to this because this is just not spirit-led. So, and I can tell, and you can tell. So if you just give me a few seconds here, and I'd just like to pray. Okay, if you could pray with me, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray silently, but I would appreciate if you pray for me. Okay, because this message stinks, and I'm not saying what the Lord wants me to say. I know that. So, let's just bow our heads, and if you'd pray, I'd appreciate it. Okay, I'm just going to say a few things that I think the Lord wants me to say. So I'm just going to read Galatians 5. And then I'm just going to share a few things. And I'll pray that the Lord will give me grace to do that. Galatians 5, we're going to start verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Okay, I just want to talk about a couple of things. Who's challenging the Galatians to not go back by living under the law, but he was challenging them to live by grace. And I guess the thing that I really wanted to communicate that I know I haven't, is that our salvation and our walk with Christ is totally dependent upon the grace of God. And sometimes I think, and I know I do this, and maybe we do this, we feel like there's so many things we have to do to be right with God. We think that we have to, okay. We feel like we have to live a certain way to be right. And we walk around discouraged. And we walk around disheartened. And the sad thing is we just give up. We say, I can't do this. I can't live for God. I can't do what's right. And we don't have any passion and we don't have any excitement. And we just say, why do we do this for? And we come to church every day, every Sunday, and we just sit here and we walk out the next day and there's just no change. And we read the Word of God. There's no change in our life and there's no power in our life. You know, it's discouraging. And then people feel bad. I mean, they just walk around feeling bad like, man, I'm such a huge disappointment to God. Maybe I'm not really going to heaven. And why can't I get my act together? You know, and it's just discouraging. And where's the life? And where's the passion? And where's the reality of knowing Jesus and living in the power of the Spirit? And I think right here to the Galatians, he's saying to them, you guys, it's not about what you can do for me. It's not about what you can do for me. It's about what I did for you. It's all about what I did for you. It's nothing of what you can do for me. You have got to live just knowing that I forgive you and my blood is sufficient and you don't have to do anything to be right with me. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, if Christ is your Savior, you're okay. And then you have the freedom and then you have the Holy Spirit power to live for Him. And that's what He says in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Here's where it is. It's faith. Do you believe? Do I believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover all my sin? I don't care what you do tonight. I don't care how much you disappoint your wife. I care how much you disappoint your kids. I don't care what happens, which way your kids go. I don't care if I do care, but here's the thing. Do you believe that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for every single sin that you've committed and will commit? Is the blood of Jesus sufficient? You know what? There's great joy in that. And there is great hope in that. So he says, you need to believe that. He says, you need to, you need to have faith and that works through love. You need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, that his sacrifice is sufficient for every one of your sins. And it's okay. When someone read about the Israelites this morning, look at what they did. They messed up all the time. They went for a little while, then they messed up. It was in Nehemiah. They messed up. So what'd they do? They were sorry and they came back and God forgave them. And they went a little ways longer and they messed up. And you know what? And God forgave them. And they went a little while longer and you know what? They messed up and God forgave them. And you know what? That's just the way it is. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died. That's why he came, because he knew you were going to mess up. And he knew even as hard as you tried, you could not do it. You couldn't do it, no matter how hard you tried. And so what is he? He's a God of compassion and forgiveness, a God of grace, who says, my blood is sufficient for every one of your sin. Come back to me in repentance, and I'll restore you, and it's okay, you're right with me. Not because of what you do, but because of who I am. It's because of who I am. It's because he is a great God, full of mercy and gracious. And you are right with me. You know, it doesn't depend on me. So discouraging when it all depends on you. But you know what? It doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. And then it's faith working through love. We have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we're okay because he died, because he loved us. And you know what? That faith and that walk then is motivated by love, because we love him because of how much he loved us. And that is a motivation to enter in to that relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can live for him. I just got to turn you to a verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 5. And I've thought a lot about this verse lately, about living in love. It says, therefore, Galatians 5, or Ephesians 5, 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And the question is, if you're going to walk in love, how do you know how to walk in love? How do you know that? He says this, and walk in love, how? Just as Christ also loved you. Do you know what? God has taught each one of you how to walk in love, just like he loved you. Do you know what? I just think this is, each one of us, if we will enter in, can be personally discipled by Jesus Christ. Because what is discipleship? It's teaching you how to live. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching you how to live because he's loved you. The command is this, love others as I have loved you. When I look at my relationship with Christ, when you look at your relationship with Christ and you say, how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me? Wow, that should move you. I would hope that would move you to incredible acts of love toward other people. Incredible acts of love toward others, because he's loved you. He's taught you how to love because you've experienced the love of God in your life. You've experienced the forgiveness of God. That's how you reach out and love others. We need to be motivated by love, not the law. Oh, the law will discourage you. Keeping all the rules will suck your life out of you. Just, it'll suck you dry because you're going to fail. But we can be motivated because of how much he loved us. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says this. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for us, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The love of Christ controls us. That's what should control. That's what should rule. That's what should run our life. Because we know how much he loved us. And we want to respond in love toward him because of what he's done for us. Because we figure this out. Because we figured it out, that he died for all. That what? That we should no longer live for ourselves. Because he died for me, I should no longer live for myself. I can figure that out. Oh, it's the love of God. You know, and sometimes we have standards, and I know I've thought this for so long, I think, oh wow, I just have to have this, if I just live the right way, if my family looks perfect, if I have this, you know, if it just looks right, you know, it's going to be spiritual and everything will work out. And that's just not, you know, I wish it worked that way. But that's just not it. You know, standards don't make us right with God. Keeping high standards don't make us right with God. Doing the right things don't make us right with God. We can only be made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then from there, we're motivated to live for him. And I just want to say that grace, focusing on God's grace and not what you can do, will always lead you to a higher level of obedience. Always. You're always going to be motivated more by your love for Jesus Christ than for any standard, biblical standard or human standard that you can set. Titus 2, 11 through 14. Titus 2:11-14 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." He said the grace of God ought to be the thing that motivates you to live in an incredible way for God. It's the grace of God. You know, I can, you know this. You can tell people, don't do that. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they're going to do it. And you can ask people not to do stuff. You can show people the truth and say, this would be stupid if you do this. But you know what? We're still going to do it. But here it is. It's the grace of God. Once you understand the grace of God, once you understand how much He cares about you, once you understand that it's not you working for your righteousness, but that He's died and He's made you righteous, that there's not a bunch of rules or standards that you have to keep to be right with Him. Wow, that should motivate you. That's going to motivate us to say, no, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. It's not that I'm not supposed to sin. And you know, that's a question we always ask. Am I supposed to sin? Am I supposed to do this? Can I do this? Can I not do that? It's a stupid question. Because the grace of God is going to show us that. No. Because of what Christ did for us. That we need to love Him. The grace of God will always take you to a higher level of obedience. Way over the law. Far surpass the law or any standard that you could ever set for yourself or that you could set for others. You know, and this was important to Paul, because back in Galatians in chapter 5 then, he says this, he says, you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And he says, you know what, you were living by faith, you were living according to grace for a while, and all of a sudden now, who's hindering you? Who's keeping you from continuing on in grace? From not living under the law. He said, this persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. And he said this, he said, this persuasion didn't come from God. And you know what? I believe that the law and the idea, and I don't know why all these people have this idea. The more people I talk to at school, you know, and you know the people you talk to, here's what they think. If I do enough right things, I'm going to get to heaven. If I can do enough right things and they outweigh my bad things, you know what? That's Satan. That persuasion comes from Satan. Because here's what it is. He knows that if he can get people to believe that, he'll win them right away, because they'll get so discouraged so fast that they'll give up. And they have nothing to do with God. Because it's a dead end. It's a dead end to try to do all the right things, to be right with God. So Paul says, who is it? You know, he was so upset with these people that he says, in verse 10, verse 12, would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what he meant, but it sounds pretty gross. But anyway, that's how upset he was about this. He says, you know what? This is serious business. And it really is. And we can look around at the world and think, you know what? Sensuality, that's a pretty serious thing that could get us off track that Satan could use. Pleasure, riches, all those things could get us off track. But you know what the worst thing is? The worst thing is, you forgetting that it's all God and none of you. Here's the worst thing that could happen is you could start thinking, you know what? I can do something to make myself right with God. And now there's things I have to do to be right with God. Because that's cheating God. Only God's going to get the glory, and only God will get the glory, and only God deserves the glory. And you know what? Here we are stealing some of His glory. Thinking, now there's things I can do to be right with God. And Paul says, who hindered you? This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump of dough. And he said, just a little bit of that thinking can spread and destroy. Can spread and destroy. Okay. I have done a horrible job, and I apologize. Oh, man. But I want to tell you this. I had a great time when I was studying this stuff. And I will say the Lord ministered to me beyond comparison. And I apologize for not bringing it to you, really. But I just want to share these verses about grace. And I just, you know, I just think sometimes spiritual thoughts within a human vessel are so, I don't know why God did it. Because it's just, I mean, I just can't get it out tonight. but the Word of God can. And just to take these verses and meditate on them maybe, and just ask God to show you how incredible His grace is. Oh, I just wish I could tell you. How incredible it is. How freeing it is. Oh, we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be burdened. We don't have to be weighed down. You know, we can have joy. We can live in the power of the Spirit. But it's all by grace. It's all by grace. Listen to this. And just turn to these passages and we're just going to read them. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Lots of you know these by heart, but it's all about grace because it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast." It's all about grace because you're saved by grace. Then turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles who am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove in vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me. Not only does the grace, not only are we saved by grace, but you know what? We serve by grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." And you know, we endure by grace. We're saved by grace, we serve by grace, and we endure by grace. And then 2 Timothy 2:1. Says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we're strengthened by grace. It's all about grace. And then Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. And we can come to the throne of grace and we can find grace. You know, it doesn't matter who we are or where we've come from, but it's only the grace of God for each one of us, rich, poor, old, young, strong, weak, fast, slow. It doesn't matter. It's all the grace of God. And you know, we can't even compare each other. Because you know what? Each one of us is just as righteous in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is great hope. That is great hope. And I just pray that God would take just the power of grace and minister it to you. So let's pray. God, I just pray for your word. God, I just pray that your word would work in each one of our hearts. And you would just communicate to us through your Spirit, this incredible truth. And God, I just want to apologize to you and to these people for doing such a poor job of communicating your truth. But God, I just thank you that your Spirit can do that. And I just pray for these verses, God, that you'd take them and you'd minister to hearts and you'd change lives. God, encourage us. You've done it all for us. And I just pray that we might live in that freedom that you've set us free in grace and be free from the law. God, thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.